Good morning.
Hey, yes.
I'm glad you made it.
Today at noon. We hope it doesn't last that long. A special announcement, Parker Gunnison, a local Boy Scout working toward his Eagle Scout certification, will be here after the service in the social hall to identify himself and talk about the project. He's standing in the back. Hey, Parker.
Thank you.
feathers, scales, or skin. Whether you talk or bark, meow, moo, chirp, oink, or hiss, you are welcome here with us. Held together in the broad web of all life, we rejoice today that we are not alone. Some of us walk and run, some fly on wings, others swim to explore pool or tank or stream, and some just slither. Some are stuffed, sewed of cotton and flesh. We welcome today cats and bats, dogs, birds, fish and snakes, possums and lizards, horses, unicorns, and anything in between. No matter who you are welcome here. Come, let us all worship together. Please take a very brief moment to say hello or introduce yourself to your neighbor, being aware of where your pet is. May our light draw the circle wide and shine out across our living web. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing hymn number 361, Enter, Rejoice, and Come In. For this morning's service. We are a welcoming congregation. Whether you are a dog person or a cat person or simply feed the birds on a snowy morning, you are welcome here. No matter how many pesos in your pocket or treats in your pouch, you are welcome here. No matter how young or old you are in dog years,
you are welcome here. No matter to whom you give hugs and pats, or who gives you sloppy kisses, you are welcome here. Please join us for treats and conversation in our social hall after this service. While you're there, stop at the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Please take a moment to silence your electronic communicators. There's a nursery to the left of the front door for little two-legged communicators if they need it. Noisy four-legged communicators will have to be taken outside. Again, welcome all. Welcome to everyone here this morning. We are so delighted that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us this morning. A single UU decided that life would be much more fun if he had a pet. So he went to the pet store and he told the owner he wanted something unusual to show his respect for the well. After some discussion, he bought a 100-legged bug called a centipede, which came in a little white box to be used as a house. And he took the box back home, found a good location for it, and decided he would start their relationship by taking the bug to church with him. So he asked the centipede in the box, "Would you like to go to church with me today? We'll have a good time." There was no answer from the box. This bothered him, so he waited a minute and asked again, "How about going to church with me and getting a blessing? It's blessing of the animals." There was no answer from his new pet, so he waited a minute more and thought about it. This time he put his face right up against the box and yelled, "Hey, in there, you want to go to church with me and learn about being a UU?" And a little centipede voice came out of the box. "Hey, I heard you the first time, buddy. I'm still putting on my shoes." The morning offering will now be given and received. Gifts given and received for the life and the work of this church. The animals who share our lives are our friends and companions, our audience, our worshipers, our masters, and our critics. In their love, we may find our best selves. The following is a poem called Dharma from UCC writer Billy Collins. The way the dog trots out the front door every morning, without a hat or an umbrella, without any money or the keys to her doghouse, never fails to fill the saucer of my heart with milky admiration. Who provides a finer example of a life without encumbrance? Thoreau in his curtainless hut with a single plate and a single spoon? Gandhi with his staff and his holy diapers? Off she goes into the material world with nothing but her brown coat and her modest blue collar, following only her wet nose, the twin portals of her steady breathing, followed only by the plume of her tail. If only she did not shove the cat aside every morning and eat all his food. What a model of self-containment she would be. What a paragon of earthly detachment. If only she were not so eager for a rub behind the ears, so acrobatic in her welcomes. If only I were not her god. Here ends the first reading.
Christopher Robin and I walked along under branches lit up by the moon, posing our questions to Al and Dior as the days slipped away all too soon. But I wandered much further today than I should, and I can't seem to find my way back to the woods. So help me if you can. I've gotta get back to the house at Pooh Corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin and Pooh. Winnie the Pooh doesn't know what to do. He's got a honey jar stuck on his nose. He came to me asking help and advice, and from there where he goes nobody knows. So I told him to ask of the owl if he's there, how to loosen a jar from the nose of our bear. So help me if you can. I've gotta get back to the house at the corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin and Pooh. It's funny to me how certain things seem to follow us all through our lives. It was all said and done, I was watching my son as he slept with my bear by his side. So I tucked him in, I kissed him, and as I was going, I swear that old bear whispered, "Boy, welcome home. Believe me if you can, I finally come back to the house at the corner by one. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin. Back to the days of Christopher Robin. Back to the days of
said, the animals that share our lives play so many roles. They teach us and they learn from us, and we do the same for them. We see ourselves in their eyes, and there we are not rich or poor, famous or infamous, stylish or dull. To them we are ourselves, removed from everything that doesn't matter. We are loved or hated, sources of comfort or sources of fear. They see the best and the worst of us. For some of us, an animal is one of the first things we remember. A teddy bear's fur, the smell of our lamb doll, the googly eyes of a plastic dog. We hugged them when we were scared of the dark. They sat with us in our tree houses. And occasionally we whack the neighbor's kids with a wooden cow on wheels. And once we get big enough to put water in a bowl or food in a dish, many of us used the animals to help us learn what it was to be human. We were responsible for them, and at times we forgot, and we learned the terrible feeling of hurting something that looked at us with innocent eyes and didn't blame us for what we had done. Even when we screwed up, they loved us anyway, and we loved them. And the bonds between non-humans and their human friends can be deep and real, and sometimes go almost beyond our ability to understand. 12 years ago, a woman named Martha moved into a nursing home with her cat. And this shocked most of the staff because personal pets typically were never allowed. But when Martha told her story, the administrator of the home made an exception. The cat was rescued by Martha as a kitten. And when she found her on the street, she was dirty and terrified and a spitting little ball of fleas and evil. She'd been tormented and was hurt with BB gun wounds on her side and a burn on a paw. And Martha actually carried her to the vet in a knit hat because she was so afraid of hurting her. And she turned her out on the table for the vet to see. They asked her to leave and wait outside while they sedated the cat. And the kitten wouldn't let go of the hat, so Martha had to kind of push a little. And she kept telling her, go on ahead. I won't be long. I'll be back. I won't be long. And eventually she named the bruised and battered and stitched and shaved little mess Rainbow. Over the years, those first words became their phrase. Every day Martha would chase Rainbow out the door for a walk and then pause to lock up. Go on ahead, she'd tell the cat. I won't be long. Rainbow would go slowly, trusting that Martha would catch up. Best of friends, despite their differences. Eventually, Martha had to use a cane and then a walker, and the walks got slower. But still, every day, she would say the same thing, go on ahead. I won't be long. And Rainbow never looked back. She always knew that Martha would come if she just walked slow enough. And then Martha got sick and needed more care. She spent a week in the hospital, and Rainbow went to a kennel where she refused to eat or drink. Desperate, Martha found a home that would let Rainbow come with her. And every day, Martha would get dressed and put herself in her wheelchair and would nudge Rainbow out the door and tell her, go on ahead, I won't be long. Rainbow learned to walk in front of that wheelchair, never running, never leaving, never paying the least bit of attention to anyone else. She figured out who pushed fast and who pushed slow. and she kept her pace just like she always had, and Rainbow got very, very old. One day we realized how old Rainbow was and how very tired. I was there that day, and most of us started crying when Martha had her on her lap. She told her, "Go ahead. I won't be long." And Rainbow closed her eyes. Martha told the truth. A few hours later, she followed her, and she was gone. Martha and her beautiful Rainbow went to the next mystery together, with Rainbow, as always, a few feet ahead, leading the way. Spirit of life and love, bless those animals who have joined us on our journeys and been called away. Bless the love and friendships we have shared, and bless us with heartfelt memories of the animals who have gone from us and head into mystery. This is the time in our service where we share our joys and our concerns. And we do this by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. When anyone has a joy or concern to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone. Our first candle today is for Kevin C.'s dad. He had a stroke and has been in the hospital since July 15th. And he is not doing very well. Please send all prayers and good thoughts to Amy and Kevin and their family.
This is Terry. You could keep two students in your thoughts and prayers. One, had surgery for a brain tumor and is not doing well. And the other was visiting her foreign exchange student in Austria, was hit by a car and is an induced coma.
This is the other Terry. A month ago, my father was diagnosed with macular degeneration and started a quite aggressive treatment with some kind of a shot right into his eye, into the retina, and a month later he went for his evaluation this week, and they said that it has been completely stopped from progressing, and he'll continue to have the shots in his eyes. I think it's either 3 or 6 months, but it has been arrested.
This is Patty, and I'm speaking for Dippy, and he is very, very happy to have his whole gathered from parts across the world here today.
I have a concern. In the last month, my twins have been convinced to go live with their dad, so I've lost them. And their two dogs. And it's become apparent in the last couple of weeks that I'm going to lose my house, too. So, yeah, it keeps happening, and yeah, lucky me. But I'm really kind of in the pits. So I'm concerned. My concern is that I'm not going to be able to hold on this time. That's all.
Thank you.
And we light our last candles today for those joys and concerns that are deeply held but not spoken, and for those animals who are no longer a part of our lives in memory of all they shared with us. I ask now that you join me in a few moments of meditation or the spirit of prayer. During our silent time, you are welcome to speak aloud the name of any animal who's no longer with you to honor your relationship. You don't need a microphone for that. Just feel free to speak aloud. So please join me in a moment of silence. Please rise as you are willing and able and join me in singing number 38, Morning Has Broken. Make us smile, keep us company, and sometimes make us laugh out loud. The humorist Patrick McManus had this to say about his dog, Stranger. Take the flaws of character you find in all dogs and most human beings, roll them up in the hide of a sickly warthog, and you would have a reasonable facsimile of my dog, Stranger, who was dirty, lazy, bigoted, opinionated, gluttonous, conceited, ill-tempered, and an incorrigible liar. We had called the dog Stranger out of the faint hope he was just passing through. As it turned out, the name was most inappropriate, since he stayed on for nearly a score of years, all the while biting the hands that fed him, and making snide remarks about my grandmother's cooking. Eventually, the name was abbreviated to Strange, which was much shorter and more descriptive. My mother used to say that Strange was like one of the family. Then my grandmother would bawl her out and say that was no way to talk about my Uncle George.
That was one of Mom's favorite jokes and was probably the reason she allowed the dog to stay in the first place. At least nobody ever thought of another reason. I used to beg for a decent dog, a Labrador retriever, an Irish setter, or just a regular old mongrel like most of the other guys had, but with no success. We just weren't a two-dog family, and since no one in his right mind would take strange, and Mom wouldn't take advantage of anyone who revealed his low mentality by offering to take Strange, I was stuck with him. Strange didn't even make a good criminal. In our part of the country, the worst crime a dog can commit is to run deer. As soon as Strange found this out, he rushed out into our clover field and tried to run the deer that grazed there. They would have none of it. They looked at the wildly yapping creature dancing around them and went back to their munching. Strange had only two chores, but he could never get them straight. He was supposed to attack prowlers, especially those whose character bore the slightest resemblance to his own, and to protect the chickens. He always thought it was the other way around. Whenever he was caught assaulting a chicken, he would come up with some cock and bull story about how the chicken had been about to set fire to the house. When he, Strange, happened along and prevented arson. Bad enough, we have a dog that attacks chickens. We have to have one that lies about it besides, Mom would say. It should be understood that Strange did not actually speak in words, or at least that anyone ever heard, but with his eyes and gestures, with feet, tail, and ears. As for prowlers, Strange would go out and invite tramps in off the road for a free meal. While the dog was out in the yard apologizing to the tramp for my grandmother's cooking, the women folk would peek out through the curtains and try to determine whether the fellow was dangerous. If so, they would wait until he had just about finished his meal, and then my sister would bellow, "Do you want the gun, Mom? Do you want the gun?" This usually would bring the tramp to his feet and send him at a fast walk toward the nearest cover, the ditch on the far side of the road. Even had the gun been real, which it wasn't, the tramp would have been in no danger, unless, of course, he happened to step between Mom and the dog. Here ends the second reading.
Right.
Islamic stories tell us that the Prophet Muhammad had a favorite cat named Mazza. And one day when he finished his prayer and meditation, he discovered that she had fallen asleep on the sleeve of his robe. And rather than to disturb her, he cut away the sleeve so that he could be on his way and she could sleep. Another legend says that the M marking on the forehead of the tabby cat was created by Muhammad as he rested his hand lightly on her forehead. The ancient Egyptians revered cats as sacred beings. How could they have known they were setting such a dangerous precedent? The small African wildcat of the region found an easy and abundant food supply in the mice and rodents attacking the Egyptian grain. Since the cat didn't eat the grain and buried its droppings away from the food and the people, Egyptians began to leave out small treats to encourage them. By the time of the pharaohs, cats were a part of society, prized for companionship and keeping the grain intact. Hinduism and Zoroastrianism revere the cow, while elephants in Thailand are thought to be able to contain reincarnated souls, even a Buddha. In North America, the Algonquin tribes had as their chief god a great mighty rabbit to whom they went at death. In Hinduism, there was the monkey god Hanuman, a reincarnation of Shiva, the god of destruction. The coyote or trickster god is seen across the American West and Southwest. Around the country and around the globe, people have shared their physical and religious worlds with their animals. Today we share our homes and lives with non-human companions of all types and stripes. I ask now that those of you who have brought animals today stand as I call your section forward, and as you are willing and able, bring your animal to the side here. We're going to go across the front. And when you reach Sue and the mic, tell us your pet's name and age and how long it's been with you.
For anyone who hasn't brought a pet or for children who want to join in, please feel free to come up to the mic and just tell us quickly about your pet. After you've shared, just go around the other side and back to your seat. So if I could, anybody over here who's brought a pet, if you want to come up and introduce your pet to us. No, I will.
This is Ebony, and she is 5 years old, and we rescued her 2 years ago.
This is Toulouse. He is almost 9 years old. I've had him since he was a little kitten. I rescued him from the farm.
This is Digby, and we got him for Nora's 14th birthday 10 years ago. And I ordered all the things I wanted him to be able to go out and boat and walk and be manageable and be small. And she picked him out, and he's been perfect because I knew he's going to be my dog.
This is Izzy. She's about 9. I got her when she was 6, but it was from the Humane Society, so I'm not really exactly sure how old she is.
Is that it?
She's really nice. And fluffy.
This is Harvey. He's from Germantown. He's raised as a farm cat, and he's probably about 6 or 7 years old, and he cried like that at the door when we were leaving, so that's why he came along. He thought there'd be more birds.
Hi, this is Nikki, and she's about 8 and a half, and we adopted her 3 months ago. Pretty high energy for 8 and a half.
She's half Springer and half Brittany Spaniel.
Yep, and she really likes the ladies. I think she's a lesbian. She could care less.
She loves to visit people, too, especially on weekends.
Hi, this is Maggie. She's 4 years old. We kept going to the Humane Society, and every time there was a dog that we liked, they said, oh, it doesn't like other dogs, it doesn't like cats, it doesn't like kids. So I went to Petland. And so Maggie came from Petland, and she's been just super. And now we did get a sister for her from a breeder, and Maggie is not too crazy about her. Her sister is 7 months old and likes to ride her back.
Well, this is Lola. I'm Fran. And Lola, we think she's about 8 years old. She's been with me for about 2 years, but she originally came from down south where, she's mostly pit bull, and she was the runt of a litter that was being raised to do dog fighting. And thank heaven she's considered the runt and unsuitable for dog fighting. So we've been together for about 2 years. She's a good friend and companion, and I love her. I think she loves me too.
This is Joe. He's 10 years old, and we rescued him 8 years ago, and he's been a great joy.
And Gracie on the right are cartoon dogs. And King is about 10, Gracie's same. Gracie was rescued from the Thorpe auctions, which, if you're not familiar, are the lovely Amish auctions that they have for dogs. So luckily the society rescued her. Otherwise, they were going to put a bullet in her head because she couldn't have babies anymore. So she lives a great 6 years beyond that, and hopefully a little more, even though she's a little blind.
Good morning, this is Chanka, and I got him when he was 7 weeks old, and he's now 16 months. He has a lot more energy than I thought any dog ever had. And he will jump higher than your head with all 4 feet off the ground. So it's great. He's been fun, and he totally adores me. The way he looks at me, nobody's ever, not even my other dogs, my Newfoundland's ever looked at me like that.
This is my new puppy, Odin. He just turned 7 months. Sporting his new haircut. He's a Woodle, a Wheat Interior Standard Poodle mix that needs to go to school.
Henry, he's a golden doodle. He just turned 6, and he loves to work the room. So beware.
Bubbles, call him Bubs for short. He's a mini Aussie. He's 15 weeks old.
It's my mom's dog, but I'm moving away, so I'm sad I don't get to reap the benefits of his love.
This is Kelly. She has something to say.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is Zeke. He's 8, and I've had him since he was 5. I got him in Indiana from Forever Friends Great Dane Rescue.
I'm Matt, and this is Smalls, better known as Daphne. She's 10, and I've had her for 9 of those 10 years, and she's blind, but most of the time you wouldn't even know it.
Moshi, and he's about almost 10 now. We've had him since he was a baby. We got this, he's a Cavalier, and got him for his absolutely darling temperament. Such a sweet boy.
And this is the elder of our family. This is Potter. He's 90, he's going to be 91 dog years. Potter, why don't you? Everybody. Potter is part frog, part baby seal, part Buddha, part Yoda, but 100% pug. And he's my bud.
This is Tico. We've had Tico since he was a pup, about a year and a half now. And he's everybody's bud. He gets to go in Ada's bed, and not mine. But he sleeps in my room mostly, so he's a bundle of fun.
Yep. This is my daughter Velvet. She is probably about 2.5 years. They didn't tell us how old she was when I got her from the Humane Society. And I've had her for about 1 year, 1.5. And, well, she has to sleep in my room because my dogs, let's just say, like the taste. This is Cosmo. She is 3 years old, and she's a mini Aussie Doodle.
Hi, I'm Mary, and Amy's got Mia, and this is Sunny, and there's Shiba Inus. Everybody always asks what breed they are. It's a Japanese breed. We've had Mia, let's see, she's 8, and we've had her 7 years, and Sunny is 5, and we've had him 3.5 years.
Do we have anybody?
There's angelfish sitting back here under the chin. She, angelfish, 3 years ago, was deemed unadoptable at Haas. We took her in to see if we could change that and failed fostering.
Spirit of life and love, today we bless the relationships we have found with these animals. Together may we continue to find love and learning, companionship and joy, and may we share our world in peace. This is The Summer Day by Unitarian Universalist minister and poet Mary Oliver. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel down in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Some people in their lives choose to experience more of the wild than others. In 1969, John Rendell and Ace Burke were roommates, and according to Ace, they were insane. They were living in England, and they went shopping, and at the department store was trying to sell a baby lion named Christian. For about $450, they bought him, and they learned later that he had been sold because he had been bought as part of a marketing promotion, and he escaped his cage and eaten most of the carpet department. So they took great care of him in their apartment for the first year, and when he got too big in the basement of a furniture store, and they would take him to the beach, and they would exercise him in a local church graveyard, which really didn't do much for the church members. And eventually he went from being a big, big kitty cat to being a huge lion-sized kitty cat, and they realized they were kind of in trouble here. But unlike a lot of folks, they wanted to do this responsibly. So they met George Adamson, who was a conservationist from Kenya, and his wife Joy. And if you're old enough, you probably remember Born Free. These were the folks who had raised Elsa the Lion and had written the book and done the movie. And so they agreed to take Christian the Lion and to reintroduce him to the wild at their compound in Kenya. So the lion was sent to Kenya, introduced to a pride of wild lions there, and eventually he became the head of the pride. 2 years later, John and Ace were told that Christian had been successfully freed, was living on his own with a pride of wild lions, and so they flew to Kenya to see for themselves. And George Adamson agreed to take them out into the area the lions had claimed, but warned them that Christian probably wouldn't remember them and it would be dangerous. When they got to where the lions were, Christian approached carefully, and then when he realized who was there, he ran, standing upright for the last few feet on his hind legs, wrapping his front legs around their shoulders, bumping and nuzzling their faces. Shockingly, two wild lionesses followed him in with a foster cub and also allowed themselves to be touched and petted, held. For several hours, the men and George Adamson sat with the lions. There's video of this all over the internet. There are brief clips that show very briefly. There are much more expanded if you find George Adamson's videos where it shows them sitting for hours with a pride of wild lions. 3 years later, John came back one last time, and at this point, Christian was full grown with his own cubs, twice the size he had been in 71. And George Adamson told him the trip was going to be a waste because the pride had gone totally wild, hadn't been in or even seen for over 9 months. When John arrived, George was waiting for him with a huge grin. Christian the lion and his pride had returned, unprovoked, unbaited, unrequested, uncalled the night before, and were waiting at the compound. He had no explanation for how pride of wild lions that had been living over 100 miles away knew to come, knew to be there. And like the first time, Christian ran to John, hugging him with his paws on his shoulders. The rest of the entire wild pride followed. They stayed all night. They let them shoot video. Totally wild lions who had never been close to humans before. And in the morning they left for the wild for good. The web of existence holds us together whether we share an apartment or a planet. And the connections we build can be some of the most meaningful in our lives. Spirit of life and love, today we bless also that relationship with the animals of the wild. Let us hold dear the lives of those that run and swim, fly and slither in the desert, jungle, pool and field.
Light into the world that it may shine on human and animal alike.
After the service, everyone is invited into the social hall for some coffee and conversation. Please feel free to bring your animals and share them with one another. Now, if you would, please rise as you're willing and able and join me in our final hymn, number 203, All Creatures of the Earth and Sky. 203.
Thank you.
God, we share one world, one planet, one web. May we share always with respect, wisdom, and joy. Peace, and may it be so.
It was in the order of service.
People would recognize the tune, so...